This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com.
Hi, this is Ethan Benetton, and I'm here with Rob Abel, CEO of IMS Global Learning Consortium. Thanks for joining us, Rob.
My pleasure.
So we all know your name, and we are excited to have a chance to learn more about what you do. So start off by telling us, if you would, a little bit about the background of IMS and why you're relevant here to the people who are at EDUCAUSE today.
Okay, I'm happy to do that. I'm actually very glad to be here speaking to the EDUCAUSE community because IMS came out of EDUCAUSE about 15 years ago or so, but it's only been in the last few years that we've really started to become very, very, very relevant to the everyday average chief information officer. IMS produces interoperability standards, and it's really probably the interoperability that is more important than the standards to most people. Interoperability means plug and play. It's easy to integrate things together. And we all know that CIOs spend a lot of time worrying about how to integrate things together. Matter of fact, one of our meetings, one of the CIOs said that sometimes they sort of jokingly refer to CIO as chief integration officer at his institution. But the point of the IMS standards is they provide a foundation. They provide a foundation that makes it easier to innovate and bring innovative technologies inside the academic enterprise, the IT enterprise. Historically, a lot of the innovation that might occur in terms of use of new technologies has sort of happened outside the IT enterprise because of, you know, very realistic concerns and constraints about how many systems can be supported, making institutional decisions about learning management systems and so forth. And really, the IMS standards today really do truly make it easy to plug and play different educational content, software, and systems together that really are enabling kind of almost a radical departure in the way you could think about and can think about the IT enterprise. For instance, supporting multiple learning management systems within an institution with the IMS standards is no problem. It's no problem whatsoever. It's not a big deal. It's not a big issue, right? And that's just one example. I do think that the debate that's going on right now, I'll call it a debate. I don't know if other people would call it, about the learning management system is just fascinating because on the one hand, we have the situation where if you talk to students, faculty, even IT people, they'll acknowledge that the learning management system has become the most used, the most mission-critical system on campus. On the other hand, we see all sorts of interesting trends that are really sort of commoditizing the LMS, or at least positioning it as a more of a commoditized item, including announcements such as the one on from Pearson on Open Class that's gotten a lot of play of kind of the free LMS and so forth. And so, you know, I don't know if our listeners are aware, but IMS had a big role in creating the first generation of the learning management system. When IMS's first project within, when it was still part of EDUCAUSE, was literally to define an IMS, an instructional management system, because no one was using the term learning management system at that point. And it was really that specification that Blackboard responded to that they built a system around and really kind of evolved into the canonical LMS. But it raises the really interesting question, which is, you know, which is true? Is the LMS now a commodity, or is it the most mission-critical system? And our insight into that is very simply this, that if you talk to students or to faculty, they will tell you that the LMS has helped them. It has helped them very, very significantly, and that's one of the reasons why it's been so widely adopted. It's really created a much better environment to structure learning, to provide interaction in some form between the teachers and the students and so forth. And so why would folks be saying this is commoditized? Well, because at the same time, they will tell you that it is not quite living up to their expectations. It's a sort of a one-size-fits-all system.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's right at the middle of so much. And particularly, I know you mentioned that the people you want to reach are often CIOs are exactly in the middle of this. And of course, it's helpful, but of course it's going to get commoditized because it's foreign to our students and our faculty to come from a world where they piece together and connect information and technology in a very fluid way. And they come here and we give them this useful tool, but it completely breaks the way that they think about the rest of their world. And now we're putting them in a little box and saying, stay there, right, inside the LMS.
Right.
And so you mentioned Open Class. Of course, that announcement just came out and shook up a lot of people last week.
Yeah.
And I think we're all very excited to see Open Class as being one way of thinking about challenging that silo. And so what I'm hearing you say is that the way that IMS is bringing to challenge that silo is really at the level where CIOs want to think, which is, can we, instead of turning to a vendor to break the silo, which in some ways I think many of us are a little afraid is just going to give us a different silo, can we solve that by dissolving all the silos but still keeping the enterprise parts that we need? So I'd like to hear more about some of your specific LMS-related standards, Common Cartridge and learning information services and learning tools interoperability. And maybe you can tell us a bit about those. And then I'd also really like to talk about how those get at the layers that the universities and colleges may need to manage that complements the commodity, the consumerized experience that we want to give people.
Right, I'll do that. So we tend to call that trio of standards, digital learning services standards, and really they work very closely together, but the three can also be used independently because they each address three kind of discrete components. Common Cartridge is really about digital learning content, the new sort of Web 2.0 type of digital learning content, some of which can get downloaded into a learning management system, some of which can reside on the web as web links, and some of which can actually be behind a website that requires a login and so forth. It really lets content providers, publishers, and OER providers create a very flexible way to create content that can then be leveraged inside any learning management system in the same way. One of the most exciting things about Common Cartridge, though, is that it's also an export format. It's also an export format, so that means the majority, all that content that's getting created by the faculty themselves can now be exported in a vendor-neutral format and can then be leveraged inside a different learning management system. So at one level, that gives you an insurance policy from an IT and an institutional perspective if you decide to make a change down the road. But at another level, it just gives you as a professor more flexibility in terms of the different platforms that can utilize your information on. One of the big things for the future is students want to get their stuff out of the LMS too.
Absolutely.
After all, it's their stuff. They paid for the education, right? And Common Cartridge will eventually have a role to play in that as well. It doesn't as of today, although you can, in the Cal State system, publish an e-portfolio out in Common Cartridge in the Merlot OER system that the Cal State system runs. Learning tools interoperability, NIMS has had content standards for a long time, but Common Cartridge really represents a very simple, easy, flexible way to do content that's much better than anything we've previously had. Learning tools interoperability is very exciting because that's kind of a mashup language for learning applications. It's very much based on kind of the Web 2.0 concept, is that you ought to be able to embed a link of a hosted application into a website, in this case into an LMS or a portal or what have you, that then takes you into an experience that's really being run completely out of a different system, but it looks like it's part of the system you're in. So this is great for any type of a learning tool, you know, things like collaborative applications that you might plug into your LMS, things such as the Wimba system or Illuminate or, you know, Tegrity, Classroom Capture, you name it, any kind of tool that could be used like that you would want a seamless interface with. LTI handles the single sign-on. It handles the rostering, so if the tool is a collaborative tool, the right set of students are together with the teacher in that tool. And it also handles the return of outcomes, which is kind of key to this whole hot topic of analytics and so forth. And so if something happens in that tool to which there are outcomes, that comes back now to the LMS. Now, the other big proponent, actually, of the LTI are publishers, because more and more of their content is, in fact, web-hosted. It's really kind of more content as a service, if you really want to kind of think of it in sort of web technology. Things like, since we've been talking about Pearson, we'll use Pearson as an example, the whole My Labs series of products, My Math Lab, My Biology Lab, et cetera. These are typically hosted web applications that require a login and so forth. It's very easy to install those tools directly and immediately and quickly into a learning management system environment for the teacher or the student, essentially instantaneously using LTI, and it handles all the background, single sign-on, authorization, rostering information between the LMS and that content experience. So what this enables is a very, very seamless experience for the teachers and the learners. You know, what one of the things, and so now we're starting to talk about bringing the innovation inside, right? This is bringing innovative new tools and processes inside to the learning experience. And I'll get to some examples because you probably have. But let me just cover the third part of the triangle, so to speak, is something called Learning Information Services, which is the piece that handles the interoperable data between a student system, you know, Banner, Oracle, PeopleSoft, so forth, and the learning management system or any other learning system that's in the enterprise. So when I said before that it's no problem to support multiple LMSs, that's because multiple LMSs can be using LIS to talk to the same PeopleSoft system, and they can be sending the same information about students, sections, courses, et cetera, in real-time synchronization in both directions. And outcomes data can also come back then from the learning management system into the student system.
Sure. So, you know, like any standard, what you're doing is you're trying to take an N-squared problem and make it into an N problem.
Exactly, yeah.
And I'm really interested in, you know, the number of N's. So one thing that CIOs can do is advocate with their vendors for adoption of these standards, and that's going to increase it. And you mentioned the players who have a clear invested interest in that kind of adoption, the people who want to sell content, for example, have a clear invested interest. We worry a lot about privacy and rights management, and I wonder if you have thinking about how, you know, is there a future there, or is there a potential for extending to services which don't think about themselves as being enterprise education services?
I think there is. I mean, I don't see anything at all that prevents us from applying these standards to those commercially available, or whatever you want to call it, outside the educational enterprise available software. In fact, we've had some vendors. There's a small vendor called Integral that, for instance, has used the LIS standard. And in particular, a REST binding to the LIS standard to provision users from PeopleSoft into Facebook. So, and that's a demo that was done about 3 years ago. It's not new. It's not, and it really just requires having the right supplier interest to want to make that happen. Now, the beauty of IMS and the IMS community, IMS has quite a few suppliers around our table, and that's because we are making life easier for the suppliers. That's a good, very good sign, by the way. But we also have quite a few institutions. We have about 50 or 60 institutions from around the world that are leading the charge in IMS. Some of that is kind of the legacy idea of IMS coming out of EDUCAUSE and being led by institutions. But what we can do, you know, you see what's happening with the open source movement, for instance, or movements, I guess. You know, there are several of them in higher education. What we can do with the IMS standards, the support that we have from our membership is almost limitless. If our members decided that they wanted to create, take your favorite, you know, commercial sort of outside the enterprise application. I don't care whether it's Facebook or iTunes U or whatever. If our members decided that they wanted to interface through IMS to whoever that supplier was and say, well, we're going to create the educational interoperable interface for that software, not only could we easily do it technically, but we would have a voice to speak to them as a community to say, this is what we want to do. And it's good for you because we want to make it easy to integrate your technology, your system, into educational institutions. And wouldn't that be better for you? So I see a lot of that happening in the future.
I feel like we have barely scratched the surface, but you've taught us a lot about the value of standards and what they're achieving far beyond just the technical integration, which is such an important starting point, but what it can really achieve. Rob Abel, thank you very much for your time today, and we look forward to learning more about what you're doing and spreading it through the industry.
Thanks, Ethan. My pleasure.
You can find more EDUCAUSE podcasts by visiting our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. EDUCAUSE podcasts are now available to listen to straight from your mobile device. Just visit www.educause.edu/mobile. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.